The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of religion has at its very core, the very essence of it, love? Absolute central message of Christianity is love. It's not justice. It's not peace. All those things come from love. It's not obedience. It's not mysticism. It's not, I don't know, some kind of emptying of the psyche. It's love. And we're listening to John talk about this. We have the first letter of St. John was the second reading. Beloved, let us love one another because God is love. And it's a theme in his letters that he writes like over and over again. It just keeps repeating it almost like a broken record. And it's in the gospel here too. And what we're, this passage here picks up where the gospel left off last Sunday. Last Sunday was, I'm the vine, you are the branches, remain in me, remain connected to me, so that you may bear fruit, and he just continues on with it. Now this is a man who we know was there at Jesus' side through everything, stayed it through his side through the crucifixion, and obviously was running to the tomb Sunday, the resurrection. And he's, what we're listening to is what Jesus said right before his passion. So this is from Holy Thursday, the Last Supper, the very last central message that Christ gives to his apostles before he makes good on everything that he's saying right here. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that's what I'm about to do. So I want you to do the same thing. If you are my friends, this is what you'll do. Remain in his love. Remain in my love. Love one another as I have loved you. Give yourself in this way. In other religions, there are valuable things that touch to the core of our humanity, but none of them, as best of my own not thoroughly studied opinion, have love as the absolute core in the same way. What I understand about Islam is that obedience is the absolute core. What I understand about Buddhism is that this emptying out and denial of all our worldly desires is the core. Hinduism, you got all these different gods, and it's the religions, not all the religions are the same, and they're not all of equal value, presenting equally valuable things that you could do one or the other. That's not what we believe as Catholics. Yes, there's good things in there. And that doesn't mean whatever Christians do is better. We're not going to go there. We've seen plenty of Christians do plenty of horrible things. But what's at the center of the religion? What's the central message? What's the central call, the challenge? It's to love sacrificially, to the point of laying down our life for another. Again, I might be wrong about some of this. No, and like I say, these other religions aren't valueless, and it's not like they don't have some aspect of that. They're human beings too. They're creating God's image. Of course there's going to be something good in there. Unless they just totally invent it to be evil or something like that, which I don't believe is what's the case. They're trying to figure out these big existential questions too. But we have the advantage of this example of God's Son, God Himself, who comes among us and shows us. Now, I wanted to kind of go on one particular phrase here, one thing that just, I'll spend the week like looking at the gospel and the readings and praying about it and trying to, and say, okay, Lord, you know what these people need to hear. help me figure that out and then communicate in a way that is noteworthy. And the part that kept coming up to me was at the very end, how, like, if we live in God's love, you will bear fruit that will remain. And so the question is, well, what's that fruit? I mean, it's a great metaphor it's a metaphor of fruitfulness. That's what it is. But it's almost like it makes explicit what that fruit is. And it says, so that whatever you ask in the Father's name, He may give you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Bear fruit. And this fruit is that when you ask, you're going to receive. So when you ask in my name, he may give you. That's the fruit of this love. Of this self-surrender to God, self-surrender to others, laying down our lives for his friends. Now, if you're anything at all like me, there's been times when you've asked and didn't receive. And so we can think that, okay, well, sure, I'm going to keep asking. Lord, I'm loving you, and I'm going to ask, and then it doesn't come out. Or comes out sideways, or say, no, that, Lord, that's exactly what I wasn't asking for. It was this thing over here. But I think the way to maybe interpret this, think about this, is that the more we love the way he did, the more we're going to be asking for the things that he would want us to have. And when we don't love, yeah, we can ask, but we're asking the wrong way for the wrong things. It's selfishness being manifested in some way. Lord, will you make my neighbor stop doing that? Because I'm tired of it. Fix him. That's like everybody's prayer, by the way. I mean, I've never done that myself, but of course I have. What I wanted to share with you, though, is an example of someone, a friend of mine. This is all recent. I'm not going to share his name. I'm just going to call him Tom. I did ask him if it'd be okay to share this story with all of you, and he wholeheartedly accepted that. Where, like, sometimes, like, the things we're asking for don't quite pan out, yet God's still helping us to learn how to love. And through that, he's bringing us closer to him. Again, Tom, again, not his real name, had a daughter. He and his wife, Sarah, had a daughter, and this daughter was born with a pretty severe genetic disability. DUP 13, I think, was a technical name for it, but anyway, she was physically handicapped, that she could walk at most like 50 yards or something like that, mostly with assistance, was never communicative, never learned to speak, wasn't able to really communicate in that kind of way, had severe epilepsy, and basically, when this, they also had two other healthy kids, but basically when Tom and Sarah had this daughter, and that once they figured out what was wrong, they just decided, you know, we're going to make this child the absolute center of our family. Absolute center. So that everything's just going to revolve around her. And so they spared no inconvenience. It's like whatever the family is doing, she's coming along. Even if it means sleepless nights in a hotel room trying to manage and trying to get her bathed, and travel was really difficult, going to lacrosse games was really difficult, and it was just, and they had to sleep with her in between them every night, because if she had an epileptic seizure, it would wake them up and they'd be able to help her assist her, because it was dangerous for her not to be assisted in those moments. And so for 22 years, they always, Tom and Sarah always slept with their daughter between the two of them. Now, back in December and January, they asked, like, all the different medical, travel, family decisions. They would ask God, Lord, we just want to do the right thing. Just always show us right there. Do we get this nurse or the different nurse? Do we go to this hospital or that hospital? Do we try this treatment, that treatment? And they got really, really far along, and she lived, normally someone might only live like 10, 15 years with this the condition she had. But they came to a point this last January where she's in the hospital suffering a severe medical complication through like pneumonia and not COVID, but that other virus, that SARS that was going around. And she had had one massive heart attack. She's 22 years old, having a massive heart attack. That's not normal health. And they had to make a critical decision. It's either do we intubate or not, because we don't know. And do we go to this house? One doctor saying this is what we should do. Tom prayed, saying, Lord, just make it clear, because there's a lot riding on this. This is such a, we're in a hair-thin kind of decision moment whether this works out or not. And he prayed and received kind of a sign of sorts, and they said, okay, we should go ahead and intubate. And within about 24 hours, she passed away. Suffered another massive heart attack in the moment of intubating. Now, after so many years of successfully praying through all these decisions, Lord, what should we do? Give us the answer. Help us to carry this cross. And then all of a sudden it didn't work. So Tom is struggling with this. And he told me the story. I was talking to him, it was a couple weeks ago, over the past several months, just kind of, maybe I misinterpreted the sign, or maybe it was just the wrong medical call, and just he's just going over and over and over, going, his head would just spin on this. Like every day he'd be rethinking, he'd just try to think how to distract himself. So he lives down the Jersey Shore, and he was going for a walk along the shore, just really having it out with God. God, I've been doing everything. We tried so hard to take care of her, and we're doing the right things, and I was trying to make the right decision, and there you go, and you took her away, and I thought I was doing the right thing, and Lord, you better show me that you were really present in all this, because I'm not seeing it right now. So I want a sign, and I want it in the ocean. Something about the ocean, something with the ocean. I don't know. A big whale, have that pop out of the ocean right there and breach right there. Something which by the way, doesn't happen off the coast of New Jersey much. And so he's walking along, just having it out with the Lord, and he gets to where he's going to turn around, and he stops, and he looks out to the ocean. It wasn't a whale. But there's this large seal laying on the beach, looking at him, lying on its side, waving. And he stops. He said he like literally rubbed his eyes to make sure he wasn't hallucinating this. And he just sat down there, took a little video clip of it, and sat there and just stared at it. And he just began to weep. there were some other people who had also gathered there, and he said he was glad he had his sunglasses on, that way people wouldn't think he's such a softy nature lover that he just weeped just at the sight of a seal. But he had reason. He had reason to. And he was just, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you. I know you were there. You see, what had happened through all these years of taking care of their daughter, they were laying down their life for their friend, their daughter. And it was changing them. They were loving in doing that. There was nothing warm fuzzy about it on so many occasions. Yet they said it was the treasure of their life. That's the kind of love our Lord is talking about when he says to lay down your life for your friend. In doing so, transformed them and made them love more, greater, better. Tom and Sarah, they're like hearts of gold. And I'm willing to bet they wouldn't be like that if it weren't for their daughter. Not like they are now. So why didn't God answer that prayer? Because the prayer was, keep her alive, don't. Well, Tom kind of figured it out too. Still struggles with it because you still always have second guesses, second doubts, but it's something along the lines of God saying, you always wanted the best for her, right? Did you want her to continue suffering? Or did you want her to have the joy of being able to dance in heaven? Even if that means a great sacrifice of not having her there every night with you and your wife. That's love. That's the core of our belief. It's the core of our religion. It's the core of our faith. That's what we're made for. And the more we do that, yes, it's tough. By the way, it's God is love, not love is what God is. Like this nice, fuzzy, warm, emotional feeling that's what God is. No, it's the other way around. Anywhere there is true, authentic love, there's one place that's coming from and one place we get that. Where do we get the ability to do that? That comes from God. He made us for that. He shows us how to do it. And that's what redeems us. So keep asking. Keep loving. The answers aren't always going to come in the way that you're hoping for or in the moment. And it might even seem to be the exact opposite. But God's helping you to learn how to love. He's helping you not just learn, but to actually do it. And it's going to be always the best thing that could possibly happen in your life.